Let's turn to 269. Let's stand together as we sing In the Garden, 269. Me to 243. 243, we remain standing. 243. We'll sing the first, second, and the fourth. First, second, and fourth. When I survey the wondrous cross, one which the Prince of glory died, my riches gain, I count but loss. All my pride stanza. Were the whole realm of nature mine, present far too small, a so amazing soul demands my soul, my life.
Selfishness we hold inside. Though we were all condemned, we had a loving friend who came to save us.
He lived a perfect life and gave the blind their sight, fulfilled the things foretold by prophecy. He humbly took his cross and died to save the lost, their sins forgiven.
The greatest story ever told is of this Jesus, how he came to earth to rescue sinful man, sent from the Father up above to sacrifice in love and take our place
and give unending grace. The Son of God who gave his life and took the grave, obeyed his Father's will despite the cost. What death could not contain, his power, his love, his grace, for he is risen. The greatest story ever told is of this Jesus, how he came to earth to rescue sinful man,
sent from the Father up above
to sacrifice in love and take our place
and give unending grace. The greatest story
true. Greatest story ever told is of this Jesus. Praise the Lord for that. We're going to dismiss our children's church. That would be sixth grade and down. If you're new here and you've got children that age group, then we have some workers that can direct them to the right class. You're welcome to send them out. Each class has an adult teacher as well as a helper. And we have classes for sixth grade down to age three, as well as a nursery if needed for those that are younger. So we'll let them slip on out. And we'll pray that those adults that are not teachers and helpers come back, all right? Some of them taking their kiddos, which is perfectly fine. All right, as they make their way out and they get settled into their classes there, again, teachers, there may be some visitors, so make sure you get them to the right class, ask their ages, find out exactly what class they're in, get them in a class there And make sure they're in the right place. All right, as they're headed out there, I'm going to encourage you to grab a Bible. And again, we have a Bible for everyone in the pew. If you need to borrow one for the service, you don't have one, you didn't bring yours, just look for a dark blue Bible, and you can open that up to page 1437 in the back. That'll get you to where you need to be. 1437 if you're using a pew Bible. Everyone else, that's going to be Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Third book of the New Testament. Third book of the New Testament, the fifth chapter, Luke chapter 5, here this morning. I encourage each person to have a copy of the Word of God and read it and see what God says for yourself. Luke chapter number 5. We have an early Easter this year, early Resurrection Sunday, March 31st. And so, Lord willing, between now and Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, just be preaching, not necessarily a series, but messages from the Gospels that'll bring us to the cross, bring us to the empty tomb. And so the Lord has directed my heart today to Luke chapter number 5. We're going to read the first 11 verses. For many of you, it's a very familiar story, but we're going to see exactly why the Lord laid this Bible story on my heart. Luke chapter number. Now, some of you, maybe the very first time you ever hear this, that's exciting. Wow, I never heard of it. What is this about? All right, we'll see what the Lord has. Now, we'll say this. The thrust of the message this morning is to God's people, believers. I'm preaching to those that know Christ as Savior. Christians, the brethren, God's family. Like I mentioned as we were preparing for the Lord's Supper, you may be here today and you may be absolutely sincere. And you may, a lot of times I've seen is you'll take the message to heart. I mean, you are listening. Sometimes you may be listening, you're not even saved. You may listen better than those that are saved. You're pouring over, you're turning the pages, you're taking notes. You are eager, you sincerely long to do what God says, but you may not be born again. And so the devil's great deception is to deceive you and to do all these things that the preacher is challenging God's people to do, and you do those, but you're not even in God's family. And you'll do all of these things, and it'll give you an aura of salvation, and you'll convince yourself, and the devil will help convince you that you're saved, and you're doing the right things, but you're doing them out of order. And so you can do all the things I'm going to challenge God's people to do today, and you can take it to heart, well, that's for me, but if you're not saved, it's all for naught. None of these steps today are for you if you're not saved. You need to be born again. The things I'm talking about are for God's people, for those who are saved. It will not bring you any closer to God or to heaven if you're not born again. Your greatest need, as you heard in the song, is to be introduced personally to the greatest story, the greatest person who ever lived, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You need to be saved from your sins. You need to do that. Today's a great day to be born again. I trust you will. But the thrust of the message will be for those who are saved. You have a Bible testimony. You know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you've been praying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It'll go along in that line, but that's not the title of the message. Just read the story. Luke 5, 1 to 11. We'll read the story, and then we'll give you the setting, and we'll get into the message. The Bible says, Luke 5, verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, him being Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, Sea of Galilee, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he is Jesus, entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, better known as Peter, Simon Peter's, and prayed or requested him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he, Jesus, sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, or finished speaking and preaching, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught, or for a catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, notice we have toiled all the night, and have taken or caught nothing. I think right there's one of these. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships. Both ships are filled with fish, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw, the incredible catch of fish, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught or the catch of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Wow. Would you have loved to have been there? Whoa, it's an incredible true story. A miracle happened centering around Jesus Christ and specifically Simon and these fishermen. This morning's message is entitled, "What's Your Next Step?" For those that take notes, what's your next step? Now, in order to really understand what's going on here, we need to go back one book just a little bit. Hold your spot. We're going to be back in Luke 5 the rest of the evening, rest of the morning. It won't be evening, believe me. All right. The rest of the morning. So hold your spot. I need you to go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Because if you only read Luke 5 and you just try to understand it just by the reading, yes, you can understand it, but you won't really truly understand it and what's going on. So hold your spot there. Put a bookmark if your Bible has a bookmark. Maybe put your bulletin if you don't take notes. And go back to Mark chapter 1. So we need to understand what's going on. Now in Luke chapter 5, it's Jesus. There's a humongous multitude of people that want to hear him. And he is down on ground level. He's on the seashore. Now, that's the Sea of Galilee. We'll talk about that. And he's down. Well, if you have a lot of people on the same level, you can't see. That's why we have an elevated stage and a pulpit. And so if there's a massive crowd, you're not going to see or hear me. And so Jesus, recognizing that, asked Simon if he could go in one of the boats, and go out a little bit into the water to where everybody's going to see him, and then his voice is going to carry, and that's what he's teaching. Okay, well, that's great. And we have the story we just read. But we need to understand the setting and the timetable, because sometimes we read about the disciples, we sort of just assume that they all became disciples at one time and then the 12 are always with them. But that's not the case. That's not the case. And this story does happen fairly early in Christ's earthly ministry. So let's read in Mark and get a little understanding of what's going on. So in chapter 1 of Mark, look at verses 9 to 11. I'm not even going to read all of this. In verses 9 to 11, Jesus begins his ministry. And if someone were to ask you, what officially begins his ministry? The answer is his baptism. That's sort of the beginning. That's sort of the hallmark. For 30 years, Christ has simply been a son, a brother, an uncle. He's lived most of his life in Nazareth. He's a carpenter. His father was a carpenter. He lives in a small town, and he's just like everybody else, everybody thinks. And at the age of 30, though, he leaves Nazareth, and he retires, if you would, from carpentry, and he's about to begin his public ministry. And the very first thing that begins that is his baptism publicly by John the Baptist. Now, he's not baptized like you and I are baptized. He's not washing away any sins. He's not doing this because he was saved, and now he's identifying like we would do today. Christ had no sins. So this is a different type of baptism. This baptism is really beginning his ministry publicly. This baptism is obeying the scriptures, and this baptism is identifying who he is, because you have the Trinity here, right? You have the Son being baptized by going under the water by John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit as a dove ascends on him, and the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Boy, you have the Trinity at one moment there, and that is really the beginning of Christ coming out to begin public ministry. In verses 12 and 13, you can read it there. "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan." So he goes immediately then into the wilderness by himself to prepare for ministry, And while he's there, we know he's tempted of the devil. He then comes out of the wilderness, for most people, a complete stranger, other than maybe Nazareth. He's unknown. He's not gone to any rabbinical rabbi schools. He's not done any miracles. Nobody really knows who he is unless perhaps he's in his little town of Nazareth, maybe some surrounding places in Galilee and some relatives in Jerusalem. He's 30 years old. He's now beginning his public ministry. He has no followers or disciples in anybody. There's not anybody with him. Verse 14. Now, and by the way, all of this happens biblically. John the Baptist was the final prophet. He prepares the way, but in those 40 days when he's in the wilderness, guess what? John the Baptist is arrested by Herod and is put in prison because he must increase and John must decrease. And John is now going to fade off the scene by the will of the Holy Ghost. John's going to be martyred. The Bible says in verse 14, now after that John the Baptist, was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now that's not the same as Mark 16, going into all the world and preach the gospel. This is the gospel of the kingdom. This is being preached to Jews only. This is the gospel that the king is here. The king is here. The kingdom is here. You'll see that. Look at his first message, verse 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So you have this itinerant preacher who nobody knows, who has no followers now, is beginning to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother. Simon is Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea. So this is all on the shore, not in a boat, for they were fishers. They were fishermen. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Now we have the beginning of his ministry. He's baptized. He goes into the wilderness. He begins now to preach and to teach. We don't know when the first miracle, the water and the wine, was done on the timetable. You have to read all the Gospels. But he now calls a few men to be his followers. Specifically here, Andrew and Peter, who were fishermen. And they were, this time they weren't in a boat. They were on the shore casting in some nets. And he said, follow me. Now, we don't know the whole timetable. You can read the book of John. You can see that there were some followers of John the Baptist that followed Jesus, at least questioned him. So you'll see, Christ did not call everybody. He calls here two fishermen and says, follow me. Be my pupils. Learn from me. I will make you fishers of men. And it says they left to follow him. And later on, James and John, two other brothers who were all friends and partners, probably grew up together, they leave them and they follow. But we would say, based on the Bible, this is not a full-time forsaking everything following him. This is the initial calling to follow me. Okay, well, we're going to follow you. Maybe if he's in Galilee, maybe we take a couple days. But this isn't necessarily leaving the fishing business. This isn't changing occupations. This isn't necessarily leaving their own families. This is an initial following of the Lord. We would not say this was salvation. We would say that this is that first step of, hey, we're going to start following the Lord. We're convinced in a way that maybe you are the Messiah. We want to follow and learn, and we're going to be, whoa, and Christ begins to teach and preach and do some miracles. But right now, there's only four. We know later on he calls Matthew, Levi, the tax collector, the IRS worker, to leave, and Matthew leaves. We're not told, we know in John 1, he goes to Philip and later Bartholomew, but we're never told about exactly all the other men, if he specifically called them, but eventually he chose 12 out of a larger group to be his disciples. So understanding all of that, and please remember that Simon Peter is married. We often always picture the disciples, we picture them all the same. That's how we do things. We picture them in one group, they all are similar, they all the same age, and they all must be same. Well, no, we know that. In fact, you can see that in Mark chapter 1. Look at verse number 29. And then we're going to go to Luke. Mark 1, 29. And forthwith, when they were coming out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John, but Simon's mother, wife's mother, lay sick of fever. So Simon is married. He has in-laws. Christ heals the mother-in-law. Just because the Bible doesn't mention stuff, don't assume that all these men were single and young. We don't know. All right? So it doesn't mean that they all abandoned their fishing and their partnership and their livelihood. There was an initial calling to follow the Lord. They may have done that sporadically or when he's in town or in the area. You'll see that, all right? Does that make sense? Now, what was Christ's initial message? Don't miss this. Come after me, verse 17. I will make you preachers. Come after me. I'm going to help you improve your business. Come after me. I'm going to make you better people. Christ had one thrust. You follow me, and I am going to make you to be fishers of men. That's what's important. We're going to catch men. We're going to catch souls of people who need Christ. We're going to introduce people to me. Where the greatest need of any person is that they know me personally and are my family. I'm going to make you, man, fishers of men. Now, don't forget that. Don't forget that. We often forget that. That's all he said. He didn't say anything else about being successful, transforming the culture and help. No, we're going to make you fishers of men. You're fishermen. You're good at what you do. You've been raised at this. But I am going to teach you how to catch what's more important, bringing people, throwing the net and bringing people to me. All right, so that's the initial. Now, we come to Luke 5, back to Luke 5. This is where we'll be the rest of the time. This story, if you carefully go back and read the Gospels, this takes place after what we just read. So this is not talking about the same time. This is a separate story after the initial first calling that we already have seen. So some of these men have begun to follow the Lord, but not full time. They're still fishing, as we can see. They're interested, they're serious, but they have not yet made the full break to follow him completely. So that's where we're at. Hence the title of the message, What's Your Next Step? Praying and assuming that each of you knows Christ as Savior and that you are a true Christian, you are a follower of some kind. What's the next step God has for you? Because we're going to look at three steps here this morning, three commands that the Lord gives in this very fascinating story. All right, so now you've got the setting a little bit here, and now we're going to go take it up a little step here. All right, so what's the setting? Verse 1, Luke 5. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now, Sea of Galilee is called several names in the Bible, and that just depends where you live. Everybody knows that. A certain mountain depends on what side of the mountain you live on. All right, depends on who lives around. Well, no, we call it this, all right? It's Sea of Galilee, Lake Gennesaret, Sea of Tiberias, if you're a Roman or Gentile, it's named after. So different names for the same body of water, all right? The Sea of Galilee, interesting enough, if you look at the picture from above, it looks like a shape of a strawberry, a little wider at the top, a little bit more narrow at the bottom. The Jordan River feeds into it. It then flows down later on to the Dead Sea. Everybody knows the Dead Sea is the lowest spot on earth. Did you know Sea of Galilee is the second lowest body of water? All right. And it's very similar size to Lake, is it Wallenpaupack? Is I saying that right? All the locals, all right. It's a similar size, very similar size and diameter, though not the same shape. But volume-wise, it's about the same body of water as that lake. This lake, Sea of Galilee, much deeper. It is a freshwater sea, called here a lake. It's freshwater. Dead Sea, of course, very salt, very minerals, all right? And fishing has always been and still is today a big business in the Sea of Galilee. The main fish caught were a type of tilapia. Some of you have been to Israel, they call it St. Peter's fish, and they get tourists to eat it, and then a sardine type of small fish. And so a lot of men were fishermen in this area and were introduced. So you have this scene. Christ is beginning his ministry. If you go back in the chapter, he has now done a few miracles. He's been healing people, casting out demons. Whoa! Word is spreading. His preaching has authority, unlike the normal religious leaders. And people are flocking him by the thousands. If you study his first year of ministry, I'm talking crowds of 5, 10, 15, 20, 25,000 people. They are coming to hear him. They're coming to see what he's going to do. They're bringing sick relatives. Christ is sometimes called his year of popularity. Whoa, he's got a lot of people who want to be near him. And there's huge crowds. And so obviously this day, early morning, massive crowds, they can't all see him. The Sea of Galilee. So we pick up the scene, verse 2. And so Christ sees two ships. These would not be ships like today. These would be fishing vessels, typically would hold 4 to 6 men. Not massive, but not little. Typically one sail. And these are probably close to shore, maybe like an anchor, and they're still in shallow water, but they're right there. So Christ, I want you to notice here, pay attention to the scriptures, verse 2. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Okay, so they're washing out. Sometimes you hear they're washing because of salt. Well, now the Sea of Galilee doesn't have salt, all right? So they're washing them, though, from whatever, bacteria, algae, whatever's out there. They're washing the nets, cleaning them. They're finished. They're done. They're packing up. They're getting good. They've been out all night, all right? And so their day is almost done. Some of you night shift, they're almost finished. They're ready to be done. And Christ specifically, the central character is Simon Peter. You'll see that. The Bible says, verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships or the boats, which was Simon's. That means both of them weren't his. He gets into one of the little boat ships, and that was Simon Peter's boat. And he prayed him, it says him, he asked or requested of Simon Peter specifically that he, notice, he's speaking directly to Peter. He gets in Peter's boat and says, Peter, would you let me out a little bit? Would it be okay if I go out a little bit here to be able to preach to the people better? He requests specifically to Simon Peter, and that happens in verse 3, says he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Okay, so there's the setting. Sometime early in the morning, mid-morning, we're not told, large crowds, Christ, I don't know how long he preached, how long he taught, hour, 30 minutes, several hours, he preaches and teaches the word of God and people are hanging on every word. Okay, there we go, there's the setting, there's what's going on, there's the man, this is Peter, Simon Peter, a central figure in the Bible. He's the older brother of another disciple named Andrew. He's clearly the leader of this little group. He's probably older. We know a lot about Simon Peter's character. You'll normally smile or grin when you hear his name. All right? He's a pretty bold fella. He's a pretty outgoing fella. He's a very, speaks out what he wears his emotions right there. All right? He's clearly the one that they defer to. He's sort of the unspoken leader. All right? The Lord is addressing everything to him. All right, and so there's the setting, there's the person. We know what's going on here as well. We are told of at least two other men as part of the story. You see that there, what is it, verse number 10? We know that James and John, who were also brothers, they were partners, it says. So they have a little fishing partnership. They have a little business. I don't know what it was called. All right, Peter and the boys, I have no idea, all right? He's got a little group, all right? They like to do initials, I have no idea. It's likely that you've got at least four fellas here, two sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew, because we're told they have a business, and James and John. And so these guys have a little group, they fish together, they share the profits, whatever. So we know that there's several here, and we know the setting, we know exactly what's going on, but I want us to look at the three commands of the Lord, the three steps, all right? And these are our three points here today. We saw Peter's answer, verse 5, we have toiled all night. So the setting is this. Peter and at least James and John, probably Andrew, they went fishing all night. That's how a lot of fishing was done in those days. Now, sometimes you just have a line with a hook. You may remember that's how Jesus had Peter pay for his taxes. Said, put a line with a hook, and there's a fish, it'll be a gold coin. We know earlier that the two men were casting nets when Jesus walked by, but one of the number one ways to fish was with some boats, with several nets, cast them out, hard work, pull them in, cast them out, pull them in, cast them out, pull them in, and if you're not catching anything, you're doing it all night. Hard work. We know that they had been out all night, likely from sundown to sunrise, and they didn't catch a thing. I didn't even say one little sardine, all right? I mean, nothing. It was a completely wasted night. They're tired, they're done. Some of you know what that's like. You're working, you're tired, you're not really wanting to mingle with people. You're grouchy, you're prickly, you're a bear, hopefully not all the time, all right? Though that's your excuse, I just need rest, all right? Then you get rest and you wake up prickly. You don't need more rest, all right? Sidetrack. All right, here we go. We haven't caught anything. Here's the scene. These guys are ready. They're looking at the clocks. They're ready to go home, sack it in, try another night. And now Christ is going to disrupt everything. Three commands. So number one, our first point here is found in verse number 3. Thrust out a little. First command or step here is thrust out a little. Now, if you've been praying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The question then is, what's the next step? Just keep praying that, and you prayed that the whole way through December. You say, I prayed that all year. Well, did you do anything? Uh-uh. Well, God answers prayer, so either there's something wrong with you and your prayers, or you didn't answer, obey what God said. So here we have some steps. Now, Simon and these fellows have already answered the basic call to follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We don't know how long they've been following. We don't know how serious that was. We don't know how often that was, but they're still fishing. And now the Lord's going to ramp it up a little bit here, and he's speaking specifically to Simon. He says, Simon, he's already in the boat. He says, thrust out a little. Could you get the anchor, take me out a little bit farther here, maybe get wet up to your waist. And okay, sure, Lord, no big deal. That's an easy one, all right? That's an easy one. I mean, that's not that bad. I wrote down, that is a reasonable request and very simple. And almost everybody in this room would be able to do it and maybe even smile. Not even think about it being a hassle. Sure, I mean, who wouldn't want? The Lord's not asking much. He just said, thrust out a little. He's just saying, could I sit in the boat? In fact, after I do that, it takes 10 seconds. I don't have any responsibility. I can go back to washing my nets. Not a big deal. I want to ask some of you if you've ever even gotten to this step. Thrust out a little. There's very little effort here. Very little time consuming. Very little cost. What was the cost? There's no cost. The Lord asked a very reasonable and simple request that everybody could do. And you know what? Simon Peter did it and probably had no problem. In fact, he might have been like a lot of us. I'm glad to help you, Lord. I can do this with a smile. This makes me even feel good. I did something for the Lord. I'm easy to work with. And that's great. That's all the Lord asked him to do. Thrust out a little. And he did it. But you know, there are a lot of people who are still standing on the shore. They haven't even thrust out a little bit. There's a lot of people who are saved, come to church. They haven't even taken this step of thrust out a little bit. They're still standing. They watch everybody else. And the Lord has probably spoken to you just, and the Lord is always gracious and kind. And he just says, would you thrust out a little? Could I get you to do something? Could I activate some of your faith? Would you have a little obedience for my commands? Many of us talk a lot about faith, but you have to activate faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. I mean, when do we stop praying and start doing? You see that a lot in the Bible, right? Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the Lord said, you tell those people to move forward. We like that. Stand still and see what? No. Move. Joshua, get the priests walking in the water and get their feet wet. And then I'll part it. A lot of times we can just get duped into thinking, hey, I'm praying. And the Lord says, it's time to start doing. Thrust out a little. This is the first step, but it's a necessary step because if you don't take this step, you can't get to the other two. I'm wondering if the Lord is asking some of you and has been asking some of you and been pressing upon your heart just to thrust out just a little. Just a little. Just a little. That could be as simple as baptism. I mean, is baptism hard? No. I know, yes, you have to sometimes swallow some pride and some fear. I understand that. And those are real things. We don't make light of those. But in the scheme of things, that's a very simple thing to do. The Lord commands it. It's all through the Bible. Many people do it. And it doesn't really cost anything. It's simple. It's an act of obedience. That's just a little step, but it's an important step that the Lord has commanded all those that are saved to identify with him publicly with his death, burial, and resurrection as the first step of obedience as a follower of his. Thrust out a little. For some, it's starting to come to Sunday school. I mean, that's not that hard. It's not that time-consuming. It takes a little bit, but it's not that challenging to come or to start giving some of your money. Not a lot, just a little bit here and there, maybe a special offering on occasion. For some, it's as simple as greet a visitor. Greet a visitor. That's not that hard. Just thrust out a little bit. Go sit by him. Go be hospitable like Christ would have. For some, it's handing out a tract. That's a first step. It's not a whole lot, but it takes some faith. I get over that and I'm going to start doing that. For others, it could be just to invite a coworker to church. That could be a huge step. I finally did it. Did they come? No, who cares? I invited them. That's the first step. Hey, thrust out a little. Have you done that? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to obey? The Lord says, Simon, I would like to use your boat, your possession. A lot of times she's going to ask to use your possessions or you, your talents. I would like you to thrust your boat out that I'm sitting in out a little bit for me. And Simon Peter, I think, was like, I can do that one, Lord. No big deal. Takes 30 seconds. I'll go back to finishing. But the Lord's not finished. And the Lord's not going to be finished with any of us. Because there's a second step. Look at the second step in verse number 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, number 2, launch out into the deep. Now let me ask you, how would you have handled that one? The people leave. It's lunchtime maybe. Peter's getting ready to bring it in. And the Lord says, Peter, I want to launch out into the deep part of the Sea of Galilee. Now, the first request was reasonable. Fairly simple and didn't cost a whole lot. And you can do that first one, pat yourself on the back and feel real good. I've obeyed the Lord. Woohoo! But the second one here is a little different and it's questionable. Lord, now wait a minute. It's definitely questionable and it's not as simple as the first one. And the average person here is going to be minor irritated. You might even not obey that one right away. You might even have a roll of the eyes. You probably will look at someone else. Can you believe they just asked me to do that? Are you kidding me? See, this one has some time involved. This one has some effort. This one's not quick. This is where we get in our antics. Now, the Lord isn't necessarily the one. The Lord can impress upon you. Sometimes the Lord has someone else ask you to do his bidding. And sometimes that person will get these reactions. I don't know about that one. All right, do you know what you just asked me to do? Lord, many times we're happy with Jesus using our boat. Hey, that's great. The Lord is using my boat. Sure, you want to use my house for a picnic? Not a big deal. Not a big deal. I mean, you want to? I'll have the teens over. That's not bad. It's a little bit of a cost, but not bad. We're happy with that. We would be thrilled to do that. But what the Lord says, that's not all I want you to do. I want you to launch out. I don't want you to stay in shallow water. Now, thank the Lord you're no longer standing on the seashore. Or you're just watching everybody. You took a little step of faith, but now I want to activate your faith more. Because remember the purpose. I am going to make you a fisher of men. And I can't make you a fisher of men if you're not going to obey my little commands. Because the most important thing is not just coming to church or doing a little few duties. It's becoming a fisher of men. And I've got to get you to that point, the Lord says. And to get you to that point, you're going to have to learn to surrender. You're going to learn to have to be humble. You're going to have to learn to take instructions. You're going to have to learn to not quit. You're going to have to learn that discouragement doesn't end it, and disillusionment, and defeat. I need to make you a fisher of men. Now, my first one is thrust out a little. I'd just like to use your boat. Great, Lord, that's a good one. I can do that one. Now, secondly, though, I want you to launch into the deep. You know, some people are looking at their friends for, oh, my goodness. Now, we know the answer here, right? Verse 5. And Simon answering said, I can see him looking at the other guys. They're like, hey, he didn't ask us. We're not saying anything. He's talking to you. You answer him. Simon said, now, this is a very calculated answer. It's a mixture of obedience and yet, Master. Notice the wording now. We. Now, he was speaking to Simon. We like to bring others in, though, don't we? It makes us feel, we like to bring other people with us. All right? Hey, we. Not everybody. That's not true. All right? A bunch of us. We got together. We, Master, we, a bunch of, we have been toiling. Notice the words. Lord, we've been fishing all night. We've been toiling. Lord, you're not a fisherman. We know what we're doing. We have put in lots of hours of labor. We're worn out. We're tired. We haven't caught a thing. We're a little bit discouraged and grouchy right now. And we just brought our boats in and cleaned our nets and we're ready to go home. And some of us are masters of all of that. All little signs to let everybody know. Not just teenagers now, by the way. It's not just a teen. I've seen many adults who were the kids learned it from. We have our reactions and all these kind of, oh, they pick it up quickly. Our little things, okay, Lord, okay, but nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Launch into the deep. I wonder how many God has been impressing upon your heart to launch into the deep. Now, that's a little scary. It's always safe near the shore. Not much can happen. We trick ourselves in the little steps of obedience that makes us feel good, but we never leave that. And the Lord says, launch into the deep. Trust me. Where is your faith? There are Christians who have been saved for years who have never activated their faith. Everything is calculated. Everything has to make sense. Everything has to equal up on paper. Everything has to be the health, the time, the family, the money, or we don't do it. And there's no faith ever involved. And therefore, not only do you not do anything for the Lord never becomes personal to you. You only hear other people talk about it. You only are envious of the Griffiths and these missionaries and other people who live by faith. And there's a longing, but you're never able to launch into the deep. You're too cautious. You're really not centered on God. It's always on you. We like to call that a false humility. And yet it's really a pride problem. I don't trust God, or I would launch out into the deep. I would trust Him with everything I have. There's no one I could trust more. He'll overcome my fears, my inadequacies, and all the things I don't think I'm talented. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I tried and failed. It didn't work the first time. I retired. I gave up. Pastor, you... Launch into the deep, Simon. Now, Simon, he did do it. I don't know that he enjoyed it, but he did do it. You know what? For some, that's the next step some of you need to take. That's called faithfulness to church services. Not just a service, but services. But there's a reason, though, if you don't come to them. You have reasons. There's reasons. There's calculated reasons why you're not able or you don't or used to and not anymore. Or church membership. It's time to take the next step. But there's a reason. Or it's time for you to be discipled by someone one-on-one for 12 weeks. But, you're not ready to launch into the deep. You're still on shallow water. For some, it's time to just start going Saturday soul winning. There's no reason you couldn't. We've had 3.5 years of it. Why not? Doesn't mean you have to come every time. Why I can't? Why can't you? I know you can. I can't either. God can. He said, I made your mouth. It's the gospel. Why can't you trust me? Why can't my health? But your health doesn't keep you from lots of other things. Now, if that's a valid reason, praise God, but don't use it as a crutch if it doesn't keep you from other things that are important. Or family or money or whatever. For some, it's not just giving a special offering, it's regular tithing faithfully. With all of your money, trusting God for that. Launch into the deep. It's not, we don't have the money for it. Launch into the deep. Not everything's got to be calculated. Maybe it's an assist with a class. I got to launch into the deep, the Lord says. Are you willing to do that? Maybe it's this third and final step. That's also found in verse number 4. But you can't ever get here until you've thrust out a little. By thrusting out a little bit, you took a little step of faith. And the Lord says, that's good. but I'm here to increase your faith. We're not here to be happy that you're still in Christian Sunday school, Christian kindergarten. I want to make you a mature believer. We're going to have to move out of elementary. You ready to go?
I know, but it's safe in elementary. I like it here. I know, but we're going to move it up a little bit. The Lord's going to stretch you.
And the Lord says, it's time to launch into the deep. I know, but it's not. Do you believe me or not? Do you trust me? I'm going to make you a fisher of men. All right, and so you know what? Peter and, all right, Lord, let's go. Where are we going? Let's go out into the deep. And they go out into the deep, and he's probably thinking, oh, my goodness. I'm going to kind of get back here. And that's what a lot of people do when it comes to things of God. Everything's calculated. Now, yes, there's family, there's responsibilities, and it doesn't mean you shouldn't do those things. But if everything is always that, all right, how long are we going to be gone? When are we going to get back? This is going longer than I thought. Oh, my goodness. Okay, you'll never really serve the Lord effectively. So how will you ever see his power if he moves? How will you ever let him throw you off your schedule? How many times has the Lord thrown off schedule? Stay in our village for 2 days. Okay. I mean, the disciples had the Lord. Lord, we got to get going. The kids, give her the kids. It's okay. Lord, enough time for that guy. I'm going to make you fishers of men. My meat is to do the will of the Father. Nothing else matters. There are people who need Christ. Study the Gospels. Look at his life. Notice what motivated him. Fishers of men, guys. We're here to catch men. We're here to introduce them to Christ. Me. We're going to do it. Now, Peter, we're not done yet. Thank you for thrusting out a little bit. Thank you for launching into the deep, though you didn't love it. Now we're moving into college. I want you to let down your nets. All right, Lord, now. All right, Lord, now I put up with you up to this point. Well, look, you are not a fisherman. You stay out of my business. I know what we are fishermen, not you. We're a carpenter. We'll take care of the fishing, Lord. What do you mean let down the nets? Come on. Now, this request was unreasonable. This request brings silence. This request, there's no faking the reactions. You've got to be kidding me. I mean, this is not just like, what? This is look around at everybody for affirmation. Does everybody else agree with me? This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. This is, can you believe what he said? Somebody help me out here. Can I get a voice? You know, that's what. This is a visible reaction. This could be anger. This could be irritation. This could be the furrowed brow, the twitching jaw. Lord, I can't believe you would even ask that. In fact, I might even make you feel bad for asking that. Don't you care about us? I didn't say he said that, but don't you appreciate the fact that we worked all night for our families? We're not lazy. We've been toiling all night and pulling it. Our muscles are, we have just finished washing the nets. They've just been folded. We're ready to go home and sleep. You want me to? Nevertheless, I will let down a net. Now, I know a lot of people harp on the nets. It says nets, and he said net. But it does say it's in his boat, so I'm going to be kind. Maybe he only has one net. Yeah, he said nets. And I understand all that. He said, let down the net. So maybe he had several. And he said, I'm not getting them all dirty. No one, fish do not bite now, Lord. Okay, fine. We're going to let one down. Oh, my goodness. It's going to take 2 hours. We'll do it. Fine. Did he have the time? He didn't have the time. Did he want to? He didn't want to. Did he care about it? He didn't care one bit. All right, Lord, but I'm going to do it. So I can come back to you and say, see? And he lets the net down. And verse 6 says, and when they had this done, probably Andrew's with him likely, they threw it in, they're going to let it sink. They're going to pull it back, and he's going to have a little smirk to say, okay, Lord, you happy now? I told you it wouldn't work. I did it before. I tried before. I used to teach. I was a failure. I used to be a fervent soul winner. Nobody ever came. I used to do all this stuff. And see, Lord, see? Nothing ever works. Yeah, but when they began to pull that in, must be a tire. Must be a log down there. What's going on? Oh, my goodness. Couldn't even pull it in, it says. Oh, wow, verse 6, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. In fact, their net was breaking. It was so heavy. Think about that one. Their net was breaking. And the Lord's kind. He said, if you'd thrown in a couple nets, you wouldn't have that one net broken. That one net, see, that one net's catching all the fish I have. You didn't completely obey, but you did obey some. You know, sometimes when we do partially obey, God still blesses, but we lose a lot of it. You have to fix that net, you know. Too bad you didn't obey fully, in full faith, and say, God, it's your nets anyways. So many people think their possessions are theirs. The last time you said, God, I want to thank you, those are your cars. This is your house. This is your property. These are your appliances. These are your children. These are your talents. Everything is yours, Lord. They're all yours, God. I want to use them for your honor and glory. They're yours, God. Use them. Sometimes we think they're all ours. The nets are God. The fish are God's. The boat's God's. They're all God's. And he says, look what happened. Wow. By the way, sometimes we miss the whole point here. Did the Lord have, the men hadn't called anything. They hadn't paid any bills. And the Lord said, I've got a way to do it. I'm going to show you several things. These are going to pay the bills. You're going to see who I am. Trust me. Boy, and they had to go and, whoo, hey, crack you. All right, they had to get the other guys, get their boat ready to go, and they probably weren't the happiest either. And they had to plow out there, and then James and John are busy, and they're pulling in, they're filling both boats, and now they are happy and laughing, and they're wet and soaked in their nets. They don't care. Glory to God. Woo, this is awesome. Praise the Lord, my word. They bring it all in. The boats begin to sink. They're so heavy. They get in the shore. Probably there's a huge crowd being like, oh my goodness, what just happened? But let's go back and zero in on Simon, verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, no one had to tell him about his attitude. No one had to tell him about his unbelief. No one had to tell him about his irritation. Lord, he fell down at the Lord's feet, said, oh, depart from me. I'm not worthy. I am a sinful man, oh Lord. Oh God, I didn't even believe you. I didn't even care. In fact, I had angry thoughts towards you. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me, oh God. I don't deserve your grace. Whoa. It says he was so astonished, verse 9, and everybody at the draw, the massive catch of fishes. Tells us, verse 10, that James and John were there. They were partners. Please don't miss the emphasis as we wind down. Notice again what Christ puts the emphasis on, verse 10. Fear not. From henceforth, from here on out, thou shalt catch men. Please notice the number one objective of the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ is on the souls of men and women. I'm going to make you fishers of men. And if you're going to learn to catch men and be a soul winner and evangelize and get out the gospel, you got to be the heart of a fisherman. You can't get discouraged. You can't get disillusioned. You can't quit at defeat. You can't worry about everybody else. You've got to be focused on the purpose. And you follow me, and I'm going to make you and mold you to be fishers of men. And fear not, men, from here on out, you're going to catch men. Fishing's not going to hold what it used to. You're not going to be satisfied doing this, right? There's a bigger purpose. Now, we're not here to say God's calling everybody here to leave your occupation. That's not the point. But for these men at this time, that was the point. And verse 11 tells you what they did. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. That means exactly what it says. For sale. For sale. Zebedee, Dad, you're going to have to get some helpers. What? Come on, boys. We're following Christ full time. We believe that he is the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one. What else is there to do with our lives? There could be no greater calling. They forsook it all. That means they gave up their occupation. They gave up their fishing. They gave up their lifestyle. They gave up their family, at least temporarily, at least certainly Simon Peter did, to follow the Lord for a higher purpose. Now we know they were pieces of work, if you read the Gospels. They didn't become fishers of men overnight. They didn't really even get there to the book of Acts, and even there they were flawed. They were hard skull. They didn't learn. Peter himself was a... all right? And if you were the Lord, you would have said, I don't think I want to deal with them. I'll find someone else. But the Lord hand chose those 12. And those 12 did not get along. You can't get along when you have a tax collector and a zealot. When you have fishermen and you have... There's no way. And the Lord molded those men to become fishers of men. And when you get to the book of Acts, except for Judas, who never was born again, who was a fake, a religious fake, doing all the same things everybody else did, and maybe even more successfully. They didn't even know the Lord personally. By the exception of Judas, all of these men became fishers of men. And these men laid the foundation for the church. These men were martyred for the cause of Jesus Christ. And Christ made them into fishers of men. I want to ask you this morning, what's your next step? You can't answer for anybody else. I can't answer for you either. If you're a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. He is the teacher, the convictor, the comforter, and the guide. What is He leading you to do? Now the question is, will you have the faith to act on it? It's not going to make sense. You're going to have to all these calculations. You're going to have every reason. What is your next step? Is it to launch out a little bit, at least a little? Come on, a little. Is it to launch out in the deep? Is it to let down your nets? Wow, that one really takes some faith. I don't think you have time to do that. That won't fit your schedule. You might even need money to do that. I don't have any money. If the Lord asks you to do it, He'll take care of that. They were fully committed. Can I say this in closing? You and I will never see God do miraculous things personally, until you let down your nets. You know, so many believers, they live their whole life, and they've never seen God personally act on their behalf. They just hear other people and they see stories and they read books. They're like, oh man. They never lived by faith. Faith. You'll never see God. They would have never seen this miraculous catch of fish. And the Lord blessed despite some unbelief there. What could He do if He didn't full belief with joy? Whoa. Can I also say this? Your obedience always gets other people involved. The Lord was speaking to Simon the entire time. Simon obeyed and other people were brought in to be partakers of the blessing. When you obey Dad, your family's going to get... A lot of times one person, the teenager, whoa, other people get involved and get excited. And they say, why, they can do it, I can do it. Praise God for that. It takes humility. It takes faith. It does take obedience. Sometimes that's brings a brand new relationship you've never experienced. God's always just sort of been a surface God. And then you walk around and you start saying, let me tell you what God did. And that's when people get excited. I've got testimonies. I've got praises. I want to do it more. Whoa. Doesn't mean there won't be defeats. Doesn't mean there's not persecution. Doesn't mean the devil lets you alone. We need to balance Scripture with Scripture. But never forget Christ's emphasis. Not to just make you a better person. Not to get you successful and pay all the bills. God takes care of His own. Fishers of men. Fishers of men. Fishers of men. That's the very first thing He said. He says it repeatedly. He's His final words before He ascended to heaven. His great commission is the same as it is today, folks. We have no other really higher purpose as God's family than to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature, or to introduce people in this community or in this church or in your family to God, or a deeper relationship with God through building up believers through classes and Bible study and mentoring and class. That is our calling until He comes. And that's what He's concerned about. Fear not. Don't be afraid from here on out. I will make you fishers of men and we'll catch men. What steps next for you? Are you willing to take it? Let's bow in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your word. Lord, You are such a gracious, patient, long-suffering, merciful God. Lord, we see that all through the Bible, but especially in Your dealings with the disciples. Lord, You handpicked 12 men 12 men that were so different from one another. They didn't get along. They had violent tempers. They were prejudiced. They were fiercely Jewish. They lacked faith. They argued all the time. They were worried about selfishness. They constantly argued and bickered. They didn't believe you, Lord. And yet you patiently and lovingly discipled them and mentored them and poured your life into them and made them to be fishers of men. Lord, I don't know what it is you would have for each individual. I can't answer for anybody in this room except myself and my family, perhaps. But Lord, it's up to me to take the step of obedience. It's up for the men to be the leaders of their home and family. Lord, if you want this church, if you want homes to be what they need to be, Lord, we've got to be willing to live by faith. We can't make every decision a calculated, perfect, makes sense. Lord, that's walking by sight and not by faith. Oh, Lord, I pray you would raise up a generation of folks that live by faith, strong faith, trying, Lord, believing you, the very character of God. Lord, trusting you to do things they don't think they can do, or they don't have the talent, or they're not able to do it. But, Lord, they trust you because you're a great God and a giving God, and they love you and they know you personally. Lord, I don't know what the next step is, but perhaps, Lord, you've been working in some hearts here today. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Perhaps your next step is the only step, salvation. I need to trust Christ as my Savior. I need to be born again. I'm missing out on so much that God has. I can't wait till another day. I need to be born again right now. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior. He's my Savior. He died for me. I need to call upon Him right now today for salvation and trust Him. Repent of my sins. If that's you, would you raise your hand and say, "Preacher, no one's looking but I. I need to be born again today. That's my greatest need right now. Forget the other steps. I got to get to become a child of God. I need to be born again, and I'd like to speak with someone today." If that's you, could you raise your hand so I can see it? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You could slip out and go right to the back. We'll have a man with a man, lady with a lady, take you to a private room. Is there anybody here today to say, "Preacher, God's worked in my heart. Oh, I'm under conviction. I need to be born again. I don't know Him as my Savior. I can't thrust out a little or launch into the deep. I can't do any of those things yet. I need to be in God's family." Well, if that's you, don't delay. It doesn't matter if you're older or younger or a teenager. If you realize that you're a sinner, no sin can enter heaven, but Christ died for you, would you turn to Him today? Let me turn to you, Christian, to you, believer. What's your next step? What's your next step for you? Are you still standing on the shore? You've been saved, but you're just a spectator. The Lord says, thrust out a little bit. Trust me. Maybe He said to some of you, you've done that, but launch out into the deep. That's a scary one. Well, maybe for some of you, you've done those and you've got comfortable and the Lord says, let down your nets. Maybe God's pricked some men in here. God's called you to preach. It's time to announce it. That's going to be very scary, especially if you've got a job and family and it looks like it's, God says, God's been working. Maybe God's called you to step out in faith as a missionary. That's going to be very scary. It's not going to make any sense. Maybe the Lord would have you take that next step. It's time to be baptized. It's time to join the church, get into membership class. It's time to get discipled with somebody to answer Bible questions and help you one-on-one. I don't know what it is, but if God spoke to your heart as the piano begins to play and Shane begins to sing, I know I've gone a little long today. I appreciate our workers with our children. We'll be finished in just a few moments. We'll trust God to work today. If God's worked in your heart and you need to make a decision, would you slip out right now by faith? Would you come? Would you make that surrender? Would you make that commitment? If you need someone to pray with you, I'll be happy to have someone pray with you. You need to make a surrender here at the altar. The altar is open. Would you come? We'll not delay. What's the next step?
Jesus calls us for the truth.
Is God stirring your heart? Is He stirring it?
Of our lives, wild, restless sea.
What's God wanting you to do?
By day His sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow.
Step out in faith. It's okay to be afraid. Step out in faith.
Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden shore, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more.
One final stanza, and this will be it. We'll dismiss.
Jesus.
Maybe you do have an idol. There's something keeping you from taking that next step. God can't bless you, and you get that right. Call it sin, confess it. Get rid of it today. Lord, what would you have me to do, Lord?
Obedience, serve and love thee best of all.
Father, I thank you for your word. I know I've gone a few minutes long. I know it's a Lord's Supper Sunday. I thank you for our nursery workers. I thank you for our children's church workers. Lord, I know that's not easy. Lord, I preach what you laid on my heart, and I pray that you'll bless despite that. Lord, as we leave today, Lord, I pray that every person that's named the name of Christ, that's a child of God, can walk out of here, Lord, with a clean conscience, a heart full of obedience, knowing that they did not in any way quench the Spirit of God or disobey your leading. Lord, fear is normal. You've told us to fear thou not, for I am with thee. Oh, Lord, may we be willing in faith to put our hands in yours. Say, Lord, I'm willing. Please help me. I'm scared. Lord, you can take people from where they're at and mold them into exactly what you'd have by your mercy and your power and your strength. Thank you, Lord, for being such a gracious, loving God for all the times that I fail you and we fail you. Now, Lord, if you've put a stirring, a longing into someone's heart, oh, God, I pray they'd have no rest until they yield that to you, Lord. Now, be gentle with them, Lord. Be kind as you always were, but, Lord, chase them down in love. May they surrender. May they yield that to you, Lord, in faith, and may they see your power and your glory. We praise your name, for you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.